An introduction, but nobody came up here, so I guess I'm on my own. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm so glad to see you guys. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, I'm up here again, and I'm so happy to be here, and I just want to say Tara has just poured into me and has done amazing things, and I'm looking at her. She keeps pushing me to be here, and then she works with me, and she helps teach me how to study the Bible and how to craft a lesson from the Bible, and it's just been an awesome experience. So I really appreciate Tara for helping me with that. So we are working in Psalms right now. We've been working in it on our Wednesday services, and Tara said, okay, I need you just to read the Psalms. Okay, that's not a big job. I mean, it's huge, right? So she said, pick out some Psalms that are meaningful to you, and let's work through them. So I came to Psalms 42. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you guys, have you ever had like a ping of pain whenever you have a memory of great joy? You know, this is graduation season, and several students are transitioning out of different seasons, maybe like middle school students stepping into high school, or high school students transitioning into bigger life opportunities, or maybe college students stepping out into the careers that they've been studying for. You know, this season tends to help make us like think back about our children and how much they have grown. We might see our sweet little boy, and he's saying, I love you, Mama, as he's packing his bags to move out. And we have just this ping of pain that just goes into our hearts, and tears flow down our faces as we remember these innocent times, because we feel like time has robbed us of ever having those opportunities again. So transitions in life can be scary. Things that are not the normal or not comfortable tend to make us long for the way things used to be, back to that memory of great joy. For me, when I went through a divorce, my family unit, as I knew it, had changed. And that first year of firsts were hard. The first Christmas, first vacation, first time going somewhere that, you know, had previously been a full family unit, happy memory, it was all different. So even though transitions can feel bad or scary, that doesn't always make them bad. Transitions in life can be a doorway to new opportunities that God has for us that only His perspective can see. And to take advantage of these new opportunities, we have to remember that it's God alone that has the ultimate control. One of my favorite songs that I love to sing at church was As the Deer. Now, one reason I loved singing this song is because my best friend Elizabeth and I would act like deer because we're silly and goofy while everybody else in the church was trying to worship. But the song brings me comfort. Its words have stuck with me through the years. Part of the song states, "You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee." And when you sing these songs, you're telling God that He alone can do it all. So that's why I've titled this message, You Alone. Which leads me to the psalm that I've felt led to speak on, Psalm 42. The first of the psalm is very familiar, probably because of the song that I just mentioned. So I'm going to break the entire Psalm 42 into parts, and then I'm going to dive into the parts as we go. So I want you to place your mindset on the time period when this was written, during a time when worship was not done, was only done at a temple. It was said to be written by the sons of Korah, and some believe that it was actually written by David during his time of being exiled by his son Absalom. But either way, the author is in great distress from being exiled or transitioned out of what was his normal or his comfortable. Because of this, the author is crying out to God, begging for God. So as I read this psalm, I want you to position your heart to a time or to an empathetic feeling of being downcast. a time when you were in a transition that left you starving for God. Imagine that you don't have the open privilege to go before God in his throne room anytime you want. So let's look at Psalms 42, verse 1. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Being in exile made the author thirst for God. And he likened this to how a deer thirsts for water. So while I was researching for tonight, I found out that deer mostly get their water from their food and from dew, that they don't normally go to streams to drink water. They only go to streams to drink water when they're stressed, like being hunted. So how awesome is it that the author related that to how he was feeling, knowing that that was the habit of deer? Feelings of being exiled, remembering how things used to be, a time or a memory of great joy that now brings new pain, these feelings leads us to being thirsty. And the problem is we don't always choose to quench our thirst with God's living water. We tend to quench our thirst with pride, sin habits, self-pity, food, anything that's easy and feels good. And this leads to depression. The author goes on to share a memory of great joy. And he uses this memory to remind his soul of God's goodness and joy. And then he reminds himself to hope in God, that he will have a chance to praise him again, even though he's being exiled in a far-off land. So let's take a look back at verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Now we're going to move to my favorite part of the psalm. And it's just one verse. We're just going to look at verse 7. And the author paints this almost beautiful, poetic picture of depression. So let's take a look at verse 7. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Have you ever felt this? Have you ever had someone close to you feel this? Deep calls to deep. To me, this is saying that darkness gives way to more darkness. Or another way to interpret it is that you're in a place of sorrow and your clouded vision only sees more sorrow. And the roar of the waterfalls are so loud that all you can hear is more sorrow around you. So waterfalls. This makes me think of times that I've been whitewater rafting. Anybody been whitewater rafting? And they make you sit through a training on what to do if you get stuck under a waterfall. The force of the water can make it difficult to escape, and the churning currents can pull you under. And you don't know which way is up and which way is down. Then the author mentions your breakers and your waves. And this makes me think about going to the beach and jumping in the waves. I remember as a little girl jumping in the waves and only to be knocked down and my body being sloshed around and not knowing which way was up and which way was down. Both of these situations feel impossible to get out of. It is out of our control. In fact, the way to get out of these situations is to not fight them, but to actually give up control. You're actually supposed to relax your body and let your body ride out the current until it pushes you out. And we tend to try to be in control of these impossible feelings and situations. All right, so let's finish up the psalm, starting at verse 8. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. So here the author is reminding himself of God's promises, of his love and protection. But he does confess that he is still weak, and he is voicing his weakness. And then he finishes with a final reminder to hope in God and his goodness. Okay, so we've gone through the psalm. What are we going to do to use this in our lives? How can we apply this to help us? Well, I've reflected over it, and I thought about how do we move forward out of a place of being downcast, feeling sad or depressed, or in a place of transition out of the normal. And I reflected over the psalm, and I found three steps that will help us move out of this state of mind. And the author modeled for us how to release control and actually ride out the current. So, one step in moving forward when we have a downcast soul is having open communication with God. We have to be honest in our struggle. We have to put words to our pain. I've found that putting words to my pain actually makes it a more tangible way to hand the pain over to God. We have to talk with God and work with him in finding the source of our pain. You have to listen to him as he points out the bitterness that has taken root and is poisoning our lives. In your open communication, you have to take time to listen to him and acknowledge his comfort. So when we're not openly communicating with God, the burden becomes even heavier, and we start to feel sorry for ourselves. We maybe even hate ourselves. You know, this is still pride, thinking of ourself over putting it in perspective of God's plan is still a form of pride. So when we're not communicating with God, we forget his plan is greater than ours. And this leaves us wide open for the enemy to taunt us and to plant bitterness. Communicating with God can feel one-sided. You have to train your heart to listen and trust for God's guidance. So, you know, bad things start to happen, and you pray about it. Then bad things keep happening, and you keep praying, and you feel forgotten, or you even feel hopeless. This is where the listen and trust part come in. This is where you have to relax and ride out the current and start training your heart to see the good things. Then we start to see God's plan more clearly. Another step in moving forward when we have a downcast soul is meditating and reflecting on God's goodness. Meditating and reflecting on his goodness. To meditate means putting yourself in a quiet place, handing over any heavy burdens that are distracting you, and placing promises of God's goodness in your heart. So when I was going through a dark time and I didn't know which way was up and which way was down, I found myself having trouble going to sleep. So I found some words from Lisa Turkerist, and I would meditate on them and repeat them over and over until I could find sleep. God is good. God is good to me. And God is good at being God. And these are the promises that I would meditate over in remembering his goodness. But you also need to reflect. Reflect means remembering a story of God's promises, either from your own life or from God's word. So in the psalm, the author reflected on a time of God's goodness to remind his heart to hope in God. Psalm 42:4 said, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God. with glad shouts and songs of praise and multitude keeping festival. So we have to reflect on God's goodness and promise of his goodness. The author had to tell his heart that he expects God to bring him through it. We also have to tell our heart to remember his promises. The last step I want to point out that will help in moving forward when you have a downcast soul is to quench your thirst with God's living water. When someone is thirsty, that's all they can think about. God made water a source that has to be present for life. Without water, plants die. Just ask Morgan. And one of my best parenting hacks, because I'm such a great parent, that was a joke, is to never leave the house without water, because water is something that I can give my boys. It helps with like any arguing or whining. I'm like, oh, you hate your brother? Here, have some water, and it usually fixes it. So, you know, giving, as I mentioned before, we try to quench this thirst with easy things of the broken world that feel good. A self-pity, food, sin habits, those types of things. These easy fixes will quench our thirst for a short time, but they will end up making us even more thirsty. We have to make the choice to quench our thirst with God's living water. God's living water is found when we abide with Jesus. So in conclusion, I want to ask you to take a look at your life. Are you feeling exiled? Are you in a life transition that is new and scary? Are you carrying a downcast soul? Are you in the habit of trying to quench your thirst with broken, easy fixes or with God's living water? If you find yourself in these situations, I challenge you to open a line of communication with God. Train your heart to hear him and trust him. I challenge you to meditate and reflect on his goodness. I challenge you to quench your thirst with God's living water by abiding with Jesus. Step back, release control, and when things feel out of control, when times feel like you don't know which way is up and which way is down, and the enemy is taunting you and questioning God, I encourage you to trust in God's unseen perspective and to ride out the current. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are an ever-flowing stream that quenches our downcast souls. Your living water provides us a sense of worth. Help us to run to you during times of feeling exiled. Show us our faults as we try to quench our thirst with ways of this broken world. Help us find the root bitterness that keeps us from knowing which way is up and which way is down. Bring to our mind the memories of your goodness and help us meditate on your promise of goodness and to recognize your comfort. Lead us alongside Jesus so that we can abide with him and allow him to quench our thirst. You alone are our strength and shield. To you alone may our spirit yield. You alone are our heart's desire, and we long to worship you. Amen.